Well, again, we're here today for our Sunday school portion of this ministry at Grace Baptist Church here in Jonesboro, Georgia. I do thank you for being here, and I pray that this will be a blessing for you in your Christian life. If by chance, and that's the purpose of God, you are not a Christian and listening to this, I pray God will open your heart and bring you to His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to just make a very quick comment. I got some positive feedback on last week's Sunday school from several sources. If you missed this past Sunday school teaching, I would encourage you to go back and hear that message, a message on idols. I think it'll be a blessing to your life and help you in your Christian walk. Today, to everything, a season. And what is that season? A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Brothers and sisters, listeners, God has ordained that there is a purpose for every time we are silent and a purpose for every time that we speak. Now, for those of you who think that's just a ridiculous statement and is going way too far, consider what Christ said to the Pharisees, recorded in Matthew chapter 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, says Christ to the Pharisees. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. That good man has been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God with the virtue of goodness. Without the Spirit of God, there's nothing good in us. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. I wasn't going too far with what I said previously, if you would believe this, and you better. For by your words, what you speak, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Consider Job 35:13, that was spoken by Elihu, a type of Christ, one perfect in knowledge. Job 35:13, surely God will not hear vanity, nor will the Almighty regard it. Surely God will not hear vanity. Well, surely God hears everything at all times. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He inhabits eternity. He is already in the realm of your future words. I cannot comprehend or explain that. I don't know how that can be. But God, He alone is God. That which is impossible for you and I is typical, is normal, and expected of God. Surely God will not hear vanity, nor will the Almighty regard it. Well, that means that God will not hear with consent. God will not hear with agreement. Empty words, nor will He regard it, nor will He care for it. And indeed, God will reject it. When it involves what we speak, even when we use idle, useless, and apparently purposeless words, and there are no purposeless words, but sometimes we think there are, God will bring us to account for every word. Like it or not, agree with that or not, believe it or not, that's the way it is. In Job 33:13, Elihu, again, God's spokesman, says this: "Why do you contend? Why do you argue with God? For He, God, does not give an accounting of any of His words." Rather than questioning God, you should respond like Job was eventually brought to say: "I need to hear this. Why do I question God?" I should respond like Job was eventually brought to say. Job says, "I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. We must be ever following the instruction of James 1:19. I've thought about this so much, I need to do it. Every person swift to hear, slow to speak. Now, if you and I would be honest, most of us do exactly the opposite. We're quick to speak and are poor listeners. I need to listen to that. Let's look now at an example of keeping silent and being equipped to speak. We see that as God called Isaiah to be a prophet. Reading these verses, as the pastor brought them up last week, brought me to do this particular message. And I'm going to show you precisely where that came from. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord." Goodness. John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time. It's Jesus Christ who men saw, who declared God." The word here, saw, is a figurative word, and it means perceived, either in a vision or a dream. Isaiah perceived the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. That would be the lower portion of a robe. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet, each of those seraphim. And with two he flew. And one cried to another, the seraphim, speaking one to another, and said, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of hosts." The whole earth full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, a seraphim crying out, and the house was filled with smoke. So Isaiah responds, "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone." The word undone is what got me interested in what I'm talking about today. I looked that word up, undone. I am undone in Strong's Concordance. And then I also looked at Wilson's Old Testament word studies. I am undone. It's very interesting. The very first thing said in Strong's is to be dumb, as in deaf and dumb. You cannot speak when you are dumb. Isaiah was dumbfounded. He was made silent. Why? Because I am a man of unclean lips. We speak with our lips, folks. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am undone. Undone. I'm made silent. I'm dumbfounded. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In other words, he's perceived the majesty of God with his mind's eye. In this very context, folks, unclean lips need to be silenced. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal. A coal burning hot. He had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold this, the live coal has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." He is no longer speaking with unclean lips. God intervened and made Isaiah a mouthpiece for God. Isaiah goes on, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" Isaiah, now with these purged lips, "Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" And God said, or the seraphim said, I say that, I correct myself again, that would be God, because it was the voice of the Lord speaking. And he said, "Go and tell this people." The word "tell" meaning to say, God is telling him, go and speak to this people. Of course, with the true prophets of God, what they spoke was directly from the mind of God. Precise, exact, without error. Likewise, the apostles spoke as the Spirit of God spoke through them. As the prophet, so with the apostles. In Matthew 10:20, Christ, when speaking, now listen to me, if you look at the context here, Christ was speaking to none but the apostles alone. as the immediate context clearly shows. And he said this to the apostles, "It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Apostolic authority, folks, finds a resting place here in Matthew 10:20. Did you hear me? If the Spirit of God, and it was true, spoke through these apostles as they gave us the New Testament, apostolic authority found its resting place right there in that verse. And Peter, with that apostolic authority given to him by Christ, as evidenced when Christ said to him, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep," just prior to his ascension back to be with the Father. That being true, Peter feeds us today as he speaks of Paul the Apostle, who saw Christ as by one born out of due time. Peter, as led by the Spirit of Christ, says this of Paul, 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. "Our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." Paul is speaking to you. God is speaking to you through Paul, as also in all his letters. What is it, 14 letters in the New Testament written by Paul? "Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort unto their own destruction, as also the rest of the scriptures." A time to speak. Purposeful words sent by God through God-appointed men to give us the Holy Scriptures. Folks, that was a God-ordained, God-purposed time to speak. All these scriptures should speak to us as Christians. And I ask myself, do these scriptures speak to me? Surely they do. Bless God. The written word of God, the Holy Scripture is precious to the people of God. Again, Job chapter 23, verse 12. "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Oh, I know that has been true in my life. The comfort received from the Scriptures, the direction received from the Scriptures, as these men of God from old have spoken to me as from God through the Holy Scriptures. A time, bless God, a time to speak. Human beings do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yes, God truly speaks to us. I pray that is occurring right now from this pulpit through his word. The children of God feed spiritually off of Christ as the Spirit of Christ quickens, gives life to the Holy Scripture. As we live our daily lives as Christians, God presents us with opportunities to speak of Christ to others. But there are also other times when we are to keep silent. We see this in the life of the Apostle Paul and Silas as they were ministering. In Acts 16:6, we read this. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You see, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Indeed, Paul received in a vision a call to Macedonia, not Asia, but to Macedonia, where the Lord opened the heart of Lydia to heed the things spoken by Paul. That is a perfect example of the fact that there was a time to be silent so that a time to speak could take place somewhere else. Both purposed by God to fulfill his plan to save Lydia and her household. There are more examples of a time to keep silence. Listen to me now as I lay the setting for this coming scripture. It was common in Israel for the elders to gather at the gate of the city where they would administer justice in the affairs of the people, one with another. In Amos chapter 5, God addresses the people of Israel who had rejected the God-appointed elders for judging them honestly and rightly. There are those folks, you know, and again, that's most people. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be judged. They want to do what is right in their own eyes. These evil people in Amos chapter 5 hated the light and would have nothing to do with the light. And why? Because it exposed their evil deeds. Of course, we got that in John 3:20. Now, in Amos 5:10, it says this, speaking of these evil people. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate. Don't correct me. I don't want to hear that. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Light exposing evil. They would not respect or accept the judgment. I'm going to use that word. The judgment of these men speaking from God. Consequently, further down in Amos 5 and verse 13, we see this. Listen to me now. Listen. We're talking about other times to keep silence. Therefore, the prudent, those elders in the gate, keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time. They keep silent because those people are not going to listen. They keep silent. That's just what those folks want, that they would not be spoken to. Jesus Christ practiced this very thing with Pilate and with Herod. And I'd like to give you those two examples. First, in Mark chapter 15. This is with Pilate. And the chief priests accused him of many things. They accused Christ of many things. And of course, those were false accusations. But he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now over to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, Christ going before Herod. 23:8. Luke 23:8. "Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him. And he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him." He questioned Christ with many words. "But Christ answered him nothing." Does this not reflect? This immediately came into my mind. Does this not reflect what Christ said in Matthew 7:6? Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. And folks, the historical account proves anyway, that's exactly what they were going to do. They weren't going to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took him and hung him on a cross, nailed him to a cross. Not long ago, I saw a mini documentary on a Christian group who were going out during all these riots we had the last two summers, witnessing to the rioters. Folks, there's a time to keep silence. These people were met with, now this was filmed, these people were met with the most filthy and vile language toward them, and they were gone after physically. That happened right here in the United States of America when people were witnessing to those who were being violent. There's a time to keep silence. And of course, we must seek God earnestly to guide us, to speak to us on when we should be silent and when we should speak according to His will. God will not give us a snake if we're seeking the Holy Spirit to guide us. Seek Him in such cases. Thanks be to Christ. Thanks be to Almighty God that Christ has spoken to you and I, if we are Christians today, inwardly through the Spirit of Christ to give us life eternal. I'm going to read to you a literal translation of John 6:63, Christ speaking. "The words that I speak to you, spirit it is, and life it is." It's a perfect example of Christ effectually speaking. When Christ speaks effectually to you inwardly through the Holy Spirit, folks, it is spirit and it is life eternal. We can't thank God enough for that. We cannot thank the Lord God enough for that. Or else you and I would be similar to those rioters, saying filthy and vile things toward those bringing the word of Christ, and even trying to harm them physically. Every true Christian responds to what Christ said in Mark 1:15. Christ said, the time, there is a time to every purpose under heaven. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we responded to this effectually. Repent and believe the gospel. Of course, that is my prayer every time I get up here. That Christ will speak to those of you listening inwardly, and that we continue to repent and believe the gospel day by day. You see, God is saving us. There was a time when Christ spoke to us inwardly with the purpose of saving our eternal souls. Folks, that's a time to praise the Lord. And today is a time to praise the Lord. Luke 19. We close with this. Speaking of the Lord Jesus. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying they were speaking. Of course, this is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by the Lord Jesus. And they say, they spoke, they praised, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But listen. And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, tell them to be quiet. But he, Christ, answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Everyone who's listening, it is always time to praise the Lord. Amen.